As we enter the word, we ask the presence go with us. Like Moses prayed, if your presence doesn't go with us, then we don't want to leave this place. So we're asking as we go into the word, this same presence go with us. Anoint me afresh. Let my tongue be like the pen of a ready writer. Help me speak as I should as an oracle of God. Let the same unction upon my heart and my tongue be upon the ears and the hearts of the people, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in each heart, including mine in particular. Father, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I further pray, Father, for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said,
Amen.
And I'll make it to the end. As you show me,
as you show me your face.
In Jesus' name we worship. Please be seated. Today I have a very important message. It is a prophetic message. Present truth and prophetic. In other words, it's already happening now. And we're going to see more of it happen in the days to come. I've entitled it Recognizing, Avoiding, and Overcoming Corrupted and False Anointings. We are living in perilous times, in which there has been a preponderance of corrupted and false anointings that have invaded the church, according to the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 24, verse 24. 24, 24. interesting reference. For there shall be false Christs. The word Christ there is just anointing. The Greek word is just anointing. You know, Christ just means the anointed one. There shall be. So let's read it like that. There shall be false anointings and false prophets and shall show. Oh, say, read it, somebody. Great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is such a graphic warning. And you know, many of us think, and I must confess, some years ago, I used to think like that. Someone like me can't be deceived. No. I mean, by the grace of God, I have revelation knowledge. I know the Bible. But in recent times, I've come to see that if I did not take heed, and I am not continually taking heed to some of the things I'm going to share with us this afternoon, I would have been deceived. The only thing that kept me is the fact that I had been doing certain things, and by doing the right things, I had come to some experiences, so I can now compare what I have with what I'm seeing, then I can know whether it's false or not. They just printed these new Naira notes. I got some in my pocket. You know? And one of the reasons, amongst many others, where they say is because of people counterfeiting. A counterfeit looks very much like the original. If you don't have a trained eye, in fact, it's more than a trained eye in the banks and also in all over the world, to detect a counterfeit note, they put it under ultraviolet light. That ultraviolet light will now light up certain security features that have been embedded inside the currency. That's why it's expensive. You don't just use an ordinary printer to print this, you know. And then you can then, if you put the counterfeit under the ultraviolet light, those, every other thing may look exactly the same, but those hidden security features will not light up. Then you know it's a counterfeit. So even a person who knows the, who can look and say, okay, all the spellings are correct, all the things, that everything is the same. So it is with the false anointing, corrupted anointings. It still looks so much like the original. And if you do not have a mind that is enlightened with revelation knowledge, to be a type of ultraviolet light, you won't see the security features, and I'm going to give them to you soon. You know, they won't light up, and then you won't know whether it's real or not. Most people think that once wonders and signs are done, it's God. I'm going to add something. The Holy Ghost just told me. And they use the name of Jesus. And we're going to look at the scripture in a minute. So if someone says, in the name of Jesus, you devil, come out. And the devil comes out and says, oh, it must be real. Use the name of Jesus. Not necessarily. I'm going to prove it to you from scripture in a minute. You know? In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the person rises up and walk. It must be God. Not always. Most of the time, yes. And it depends on a lot of other factors, which I will mention. It is very crucial. If we could not be deceived, Jesus would not say so. He said, even the very elect. He's talking about the top guys in the church. The people who are, you know, like Paul and top people, you know. That's what he's talking about. He said, if it were possible. Now, they won't be deceived. But said, they too could have been deceived, if not for some of these things I'm going to share with you, if they don't understand these security features and what to look for. Now, let me give a little background. I want to make a distinction between the corrupted and false anointings. They're actually very similar, but a corrupted anointing is one that somebody had that God gave them originally. But because of the way they were living, the anointing was now corrupted. How? Satan now came in and mixed his power with that anointing. And the scriptural example is Saul. There are two of them actually. Balaam and Saul. But let me zero in on Saul first. Saul was originally called of God, anointed by God. The Bible says he prophesied. It says Saul also among the prophets. Further on down the line, because of his rebellion, you know, and his stubbornness. Everybody say rebellion and stubbornness. You know, rebellion and stubbornness is not something that is usually talked about in the church. Because most people think, well, you know, the man is just, you know, he just has a mind of his own. That even is the problem. He's supposed to have the mind of Christ. Hello? You know, when a person is very opinionated, he likes his own opinion. You know, he's very willful. You know, to some people it looks like a strength. In fact, you hear, somebody wrote a book some years ago, you know, talking about the spirit temperament. I'm talking about different kinds of, you know, the choleric, the this and that, 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 all that, you know. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to change it. So anyway, I don't want to get off on that and get distracted. When a person has, you know, stubborn, that these were the characteristics of Saul. Saul didn't commit adultery. Saul did not commit murder. Saul is not even accused of covetousness. But these two things, he said, rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. We're going to come back to these. Everybody say, stubbornness, rebellion. These open the gate to a corrupted anointing even more than covetousness, although they're all tied with a short rope. So the Bible says an evil spirit from the Lord came. Of course, we know it's not an evil spirit. God doesn't send evil spirits. It just means an evil spirit that God allowed. God removed his protective hedge. You know, and that anointing Saul had that was from God was corrupted. So, and then he would prophesy under the unction of that evil spirit. Then, when David would come, who had the Spirit of God, and David would play, and the presence of God, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people, the Spirit of God will come, and that evil spirit will be suppressed or cast out, and Saul will be refreshed. Then he will prophesy again under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Observe, you have a dichotomy here. You've got the same person operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit and then operating under the influence of an evil spirit because of his rebellion and stubbornness. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to mention this. When he is in the presence, or she, whoever, man or woman, of somebody that has a stronger anointing of the Holy Spirit, the operation of that evil spirit is suppressed. So you find that Saul, when he went to Samuel and the prophets, he began to prophesy again under the Holy Spirit. But whenever he was alone and David was not there or Samuel was not there, he would prophesy under the influence of an evil spirit. That is what we have in the church today. And I'm sorry to say this, but it is true. It is now endemic. You know what it means to be endemic? When you have a disease that is everywhere. It is so, you know why? Stubbornness and rebellion is so common. People don't even see it as wrong. People feel that, you know, somebody's, you know, if he's self-willed, he's, ah, I like that man, he has a mind of his own. There's no such thing in Christianity. You're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And also, the hallmark, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll say, the hallmark of the Christ nature is meekness and lowliness of heart, not stubbornness and pride. And some people interpret meekness as weakness and pride as strength. They interpret rebellion as being resilient. Yes. The man is doing what he thinks God told him to do. Everybody must do what they believe God told them to do. No. Everybody must believe what the Bible says God told us to do. And if you take the Bible and you twist it to give it some interpretation that is not in line with the Spirit of God, and then you hold on to that, you are operating in stubbornness. You are operating in rebellion, and you have opened wide the door to evil spirits to come in and corrupt the original pure anointing that you had. It is common. Thank you for bringing this scripture up. I don't have those scriptures in my notes. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God or allowed by God. Every time you see that in the Old Testament, God did this. God doesn't do bad things. The New Testament tells us that. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of life. And there is no variableness. It doesn't change. It didn't change in the Old Testament. It's still the same. You know, that's why in James it begins to say, do not err. It is an error to ascribe to God evil. God doesn't do evil. He only does good. Yes, he judges. He even kills. But even when he does that, he does it out of love and justice. And he never does it without giving warning. And giving somebody a very long rope. Go and check. He has never, he has not changed. He gave Lucifer a long rope. He didn't start, he wasn't enduring long. He did not become enduring long and patient and kind when he created man. He's always been, there's always been somebody who's been enduring long and he was enduring and he was patient and kind with Lucifer and all the fallen angels. It's when they crossed a particular line, he drew the line so that they would not corrupt the other angels and corrupt the creation that he had made. You have to understand that about God. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. He is not good today and bad tomorrow. Neither shadow of turning. The Bible is progressive revelation. Now the revelation we get at the end of the New Testament. So we have to interpret all other scriptures in the light of that. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Was upon Saul, an evil spirit allowed by God. You know, that's the correct understanding. This is the letter. But what it really means is that allowed by God. You see it also in Ahaz. He wants to go to Ramoth Gilead. So God, there's these evil spirits. They come to the throne of God, just like Job, Satan. And he said, who will go and deceive Ahab so that he will fall in Ramoth Gilead? And one spirit stood up. He said, I will go. I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophet. And the Bible said, go, you will prevail. God allowed it because of Ahab's stubbornness, rebellion, and idolatry. See, sin, he said, let nobody should deceive you. He said, no, let no man see when he's tempted of God. He said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed and lost when it has finished. Gives birth to sin. And sin when it's finished gives birth to death. That is the New Testament. That is the correct truth. So anything you see in the Bible, you have to interpret it in the light of that. That's why I recommended the other day reading E.W. Kenyon's book, The Bible in the Light of Our Redemption. It's a seminal book. If I had my way, every Christian would read it. Those are the things I read when I first got born again. You know, they helped me. God, in his mercy and kindness, laid me a good, solid foundation. I recommended 5 of E.W. Kenyon's books. The Bible in the Light of Our Redemption. You know, the Father and His Family. You know, The Hidden Man of the Heart. Two Kinds of Life. And there's one. What Happened from the Cross to the Throne. They contain gems of things that are there in the Bible, but they're hidden. And until you have a good anointed teacher to teach you, then you'll be like, ah! So when you now read the Bible in the light with those things at the back of your mind, you get correct interpretation. When you read the Bible without those understandings, the letter will kill you. Go back to that 1 Samuel 16:23. So the Bible says, you know, an evil spirit from the Lord, you know, or allowed by God. That David took a harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You see the same thing. Whenever the presence of the Holy Spirit is through a vessel who has the Holy Spirit, who is operating a pure anointing, when they are around, they subjugate the operation of the evil spirit. That's why in a church like this, for example, you hardly ever, I'm sure you've never seen anybody in this church, very rarely, do what they call is manifesting. I won't allow it. And even when people have problems, you know, God has healed people. God has delivered people. You don't have to roll on the floor to get delivered. And vomit and shout and scream and disrupt the whole meeting. When the Bible says God does all things decently and in order. Come on. It's because they haven't read their Bible. Or they've read it and they don't understand it. And the evil spirits just run rife inside some of our services. And they call it, they say God is moving. That's not God moving, the devil moving. Because when God is moving, he's decent and in order. He said, let there be speaking tongues, 2, by 3, and let that be by course. Say, for God is not the author of confusion. I don't know. They don't read their... God have mercy on us. You know, throw away those kind of scriptures. You know, or ignore them as if they don't exist. And they say, God, no, God doesn't move like that. He is not the author of confusion. When you say confuse something, he's not God. Or the leaders don't have enough spiritual power coming out of them to repress the operation of the evil spirits. That's the truth. That's why you don't see here. And people here have had all different kinds of problems. People have had problems with all different kinds of things, you know. And God has delivered them from them. It sounds just quiet, you know. He said, and he cast out the spirit with his word. Anytime we pray here, and I cast out do you think nothing is happening? Something is happening. But it's a spiritual operation. And it's being done decently and in order. Glory be to God. It's not only when they shout that you know that an evil spirit came out. And you know, Jesus always discouraged them. Whenever they said, don't say, shut up. That's the New Testament translation. The Old Testament, you know, the King James is hold thy peace. But the 21st century one, what he actually said is shut up. Come out of it. Did you notice the Holy Ghost just speaking to me? And Jesus came down from the mountain and they brought the boy with the epileptic fit. Jesus is very angry with them. He said, what's wrong? He said, oh, you know, your disciples, we brought this boy's son. He said, what is wrong? This is Olubi's paraphrase. What's wrong with you people? After all, I've taught you, I've given you the borrowed anointing. You know, you heal the sick, raise the dead. Why can't this silly devil? So he said, bring the boy to me. They bring the boy to him. You know, the devil, foolish devil. He puts the boy on the ground and rolls and shouts. He wants Jesus to start asking him, you know, and communicating with him and all of that. Jesus ignores him. He ignores all that. Then he asks the father. He said, how long has this been? He said, oh, since we were. Sometimes he wants to throw him in the fire and kill him. He said, but if thou can help us, you know, desperation. Jesus is angry. Anger is too strong. Displeased. You know. Said, if. He didn't say it like that. I'm only be saying it like that now. But this is a paraphrase. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Then the man realizes his error. He said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. He said, come out of him. Immediately, he said that the evil spirit, you know, rolled the boy on the floor. Then there was no more action. He's gone. It was as if the boy was dead. But the boy wasn't dead. So he said, lift him up. They lifted the boy and gave him to his father. That's how to operate. Not this nonsense where we indulge evil spirits. What's your name? My name is Ogbanje. Where are you from? I live under a tree in Imo State. Unless you follow me there and you go and get one stone that your great-grandfather planted under the stone and it has a red thread that is attached to it. Unless you get that something, you cannot deliver me. So you will follow the devil to Imo State. Oh, they've done it. Our people have done it. Then the demonized person will take them to one tree. Then they will dig. Sometimes they will see the red stone, all right. See if it's the devil who planted it there. And waste your time all from here all the way to Imo State. What you could have just done in a second. Give the Lord a clap offering. Who told you have to go and get the stone before the person is delivered? He's cast out the spirit with his word. I don't need any silly stone. How many demons? The demons are silly. You have to understand that the devil, you know, is relative to God, he's wise, you know. Don't misunderstand me. I don't underestimate Satan, you know. But he's, you know, he does foolish things. You know, it's one of the reasons why God said in his word, in 1 John chapter 5, when he says his commandments are not grievous. So, but whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that over even our faith. He's contrasting the commandments of God with that of the devil. The commandments of God aren't grievous. All you need to do is your heart, your mouth, you know, pray, you know, and you have the power of God to, you know, overcome whatever problem it is. But it's the devil who gives grievous commandments. You want to have power. Go and see one baba somewhere. They will give you this long list. You have to bring 5 turkeys, 3 fowls. This one must be white. You cannot have any something. It must be totally white. Then, you know, you go and cut the tail of 10 lizards. I'm just, you know, making stuff up. But, you know, it's ridiculous. That's how silly Satan is. Ridiculous things like that. Go and bring me the mouth of a crocodile. Yes. You know, so when you bring it, you know, we will, you know, crunch all of them together into something, you know, then we'll put it on a calabash. Then at midnight, you will come, you will be naked. You must not wear any clothes. Then you put that calabash on your head. Then you go and walk at a particular place, and it must be 12 sharp. Sharp, sharp. It must be 12 sharp. Amen. And then if you really want the money and you want the power, you have to give us your first son. And they do it. And they get the money. And they pay with their first son. Men, foolish men, will do anything for power. Our God is not like that. His commandments are not grievous. You want to get power, you don't have to go and get the mouth of a crocodile and the tail of 7 lizards. And the kind of something, said the word is nigh. Simple. Simple. In thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. His commandments are not grievous. His yoke is easy, his burden. That's how you can know when he's the devil. And even some of our brethren who have operated, have operated, and some are still operating in corrupted anointings. They will start telling you all kinds of stupid things. You have to go get anointing bottle. Then get the yes, oh. Then buy one cloth. And it has to be from their ministry. And you have to pay, you know, $1,000 or whatever. Yes, there are things that are happening in the Pentecostal born-again church. I'm talking about recognizing, avoiding, and overcoming corrupted and false anointings. They are common. Years ago, there was one person, I'm not going to mention the name because I want to believe that they have repented. I love them and I pray for them. I'm not against them. They are my brethren. I don't deny that they are brethren. They are born again, spirit-filled. You know, was telling people that if you want to be fruitful, you know, I'm talking about women who haven't had babies and all of that, go and cut popo and take the seeds. It was advertised. I shook my head. Where did you get that from? It's witchcraft. It's a corrupted anointing. It's a talisman. One person went somewhere and one man of God was doing miracles in that place. But to do the miracle, to get the miracle, he, like this place where Pastor Rose, Pastor Rhoda is sitting, you know, up to where the brethren down there are sitting, you know, where Brother Arao is, just all those, you know, just this, maybe 5 seats here, you know, make a square. Then I now put a piece of white cloth. It has to be white. True story. If you want a miracle, you have to enter that place. Are you crazy? It happens. So this is one of my friends went and saw the he said, this man is a great wonder, and he's doing that. So he now asked me, he said, OJ, is he God? I said, it's you who went. You should know. I didn't go with you. Where is that one written in the Bible? I put white cloth. And then you have to, it's not like that. You have to. It's madness. It's the devil. It's corrupted anointings. And that's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching. And it's common. It's endemic. And because most Christians are not well taught, and they don't really know the Holy Spirit, they are gullible and easily deceived. And like Jesus said, signs and wonders follow those things. Some power will come, but it's not from God. The baby will come, but it's not from God. Don't go and eat pawpaw seed because you want to be fruitful. Pray! Did Hannah eat any pawpaw seed? There's an anointing on me. I'm normally a very calm person, but God is angry. Stop it! I'm not talking to the scripture pastor. I'm preaching to the church here. You know, most of you don't do such things. But you may have friends or relatives or, you know, so-called born again. You know, they're born again. I'm not even so-called. They're really born again. But corrupted anointing. Warn them. Send this message to them. Stop it. You are selling your eternal destiny. We're going to see that in a minute. So, These are examples of corruption. The other example, of course, is Balaam. Balaam, you know, God is not a man that you should lie. Now it's not a man. It's Balaam who gave that prophecy. So Balaam gave some very accurate prophecies. But the Bible tells us in the New Testament that do not follow the error, you know, the error of, don't go the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. His love for money corrupted his anointing. Even though he had a genuine prophetic anointing. Be careful, brethren. Don't open your mouth and swallow anything. Careful where you go. Let's go here. Let's go here. What are you looking for that is not lost? If you want something, the Bible tells you, seek the Lord. Most people don't want to pay the price. They don't want to, they don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to forgive the things that are blocking the anointing. You know, they don't want to humble. They don't want to submit. Like go to some funny place. They tell you to do all these grievous commandments. And take your money and rob you. And give you some miracle that will not last. Even though it will be a real miracle and it will actually happen. But it is at the cost of your soul. Go and read it in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to go there. You know, you read my book, you know, book of Revelation in a nutshell. In chapter 17, talking about the spirit of Babylon. It says, and the souls of men. It will have total dominion over your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if you're not careful, in extreme case, it will send you to hell. Don't go there. Do it the way the Bible way. His commandments are not grievous. But you know, like we said during the Bible study, the key to work doing the things of God, the word, the prayer, and all of that, is grace. And mercy. And the key to grace and mercy is humility. And that's what people don't want to do. One of the words most Christians hate is the word submission. Somebody was criticizing this church. And he was saying to me, he said, you know, all we hear in your church, just submission, submission, submission. I said, that's not true. I don't preach submission, submission. But it is true. I do talk about it. And I said to them, look, it's the key to grace. How can you hate submission when even the Godhead has submitted? So how are you going to get grace? And how are you going to prevail? That's why when that door, watch this, I just got a fax. When that door doesn't open, when they come to God, they pray, they don't get the answer, they don't, then they go to an evil spirit. Saul. What happened to Saul? He said, God is not answering me, neither by visions or dreams or prophets or the Urim and Thurim. All the ways God used to speak in those days, none of them was answering him. So out of desperation, there are a lot of souls like that today. He goes to the witch at Endor. That's a lot of our people. When they, hey, I've used last scripture, it doesn't work. I've prayed in tongues, it doesn't work. I've grown, I don't get an answer. It must be something. Maybe there's always a say, well, it's not like that. You know, if there's someone, Baba, somewhere, you know, if you come, you know, this one did it. If you do it, you get your answer. You will sell your soul and you may wind up in hellfire. Don't do it. Submit. Repent. Remove the stubbornness and the rebellion so grace can flow. When there's sufficient grace, the prayer will work. The confession will work. You will get your miracle from God and not from Satan. Ah! Mm. So the reason why we need to recognize and avoid, observe, I chose those words very carefully under the Holy Spirit. First thing is to recognize. Secondly, it is to avoid it. In other words, don't go where those things are in operation. Thirdly, is to overcome. And that's for people like us who are pastors and leaders. We pray so that those kind of spirits will not operate in our sphere of influence. This is a true story. I'll tell you a true story in a minute. You know, so we do these things to avoid these things, so we will not be robbed of our reward of the Spirit without measure. Now, let's look at this in Matthew chapter 7. We're actually looking at this in our School of Perfection. And I was telling you then I was going to prepare a complete message on this. So we're going to first of all look at verses 21 to 23. Yes. This is the proof that this thing is not done by people who are not born again. These are born again people. Showing you the fact that it is a corrupted anointing. These are not people who are not born again. These are not people like Bar Jesus in the Acts of the Apostles, who was initially not born again, but he was a sorcerer, and he used to do miracles in Samaria. Then when Philip the evangelist came and cast out devils and all of that, this man was just looking at the miracles that Philip did. Then he too got born again, you know, and he was baptized. Then when he now saw the power, you know, Peter and John came and got the people in Samaria filled with the Holy Spirit. So he was so astonished, this wonderful power, these people are speaking in tongues. So he now offered, his old ways hadn't left him. He offered Peter money in order, because that's what they're used to, you see. You know, in order to get, he said, you know, that I also remember. Peter gave it to him immediately under the Holy Ghost. He said, thy money perish with you. That you think that the gift of God can be bought with money. Repent, you are in the gall of bitterness, you know, or that you might be forgiven. So you ask for forgiveness and then continue to follow them. You know, all habits die hard. They're used to that. Using money to get power. That's a false prophet because he wasn't born again. But the endemic that's in the church now is not the false one, it's the corrupted one. We have the false ones outside, but they're not attractive to Christians. It's the ones who do it in the name of Jesus. Those are the ones, the corrupted ones. And this is where Jesus talks about them. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Like I explained on Wednesday, he's not talking about being born again and going to heaven. He's talking about entering the experience of the total dominion. That's what the kingdom is. Of righteousness, peace, and joy in your soul and body. That's what it means to enter the kingdom. This same truth is reiterated in Acts chapter 14 in verse 22, where Paul is speaking to the disciples, and he says that, you know, they should not be discouraged because through much tribulation, we enter into again, and they were already born again. So it's not talking about being born again. Let me say what I said earlier on, just using this as a classic example. How can I get the correct interpretation of this scripture? Because I know other scriptures. If I read this thing on the surface, and I do not have, maybe I've not been taught, or I don't have the knowledge of two things. I don't have the knowledge that righteousness, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then I don't have the knowledge of Acts that disciples, you know, Paul told them that through much tribulation, they will enter the kingdom. I will misinterpret this scripture as talking about heaven. And majority of our people over the years have done that, especially the illiterates. When I say illiterates now, don't let me, forgive me, you know, don't let me say that. The uneducated. I like the way Peter put it. Let me stay scriptural. Unlearned. Unstable. I was saying to Pastor Andrew, I thank God, and I've said it many times here, for the legacy of Bishop Ajayi Crowther. Let's give Bishop Ajayi Crowther a super clap offering. God used him tremendously. First Anglican bishop in Africa. He was ordained in 1864 in somewhere in England. You know, and he came back with a determination to translate the Bible into Yoruba, and he did a great job. Another clap offering. But you know, it was a translation from the English to the Yoruba. So some of the things that were written were not totally accurate. They were, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost and you've not been, you don't have a trained mind, this is a typical example. So if you read this in Yoruba Bible, it will say that it is not everybody who says Lord Otoma Wajabo Orun, which is correct. It's a correct translation. So the average CAC man, the average uneducated man whose mind has not been trained, he will hear his pastor preach and teach that. He will interpret it as being, he's not going to heaven. And that's not what he's talking about. Even though that's what it said. The letter, but the spirit behind it is not talking about heaven. That I just brought it out by the Holy Spirit. That's a typical example. And there are so many of the scriptures like that. I was laughing, Pastor Andrew, in the car. You know, Psalm 35. And some of them say, Oluwa gbogun ta on to gbogun temi. Oluwa gbogun. And that's what the Bible says. Plead my cause with them that, you know, rise up against me. You know. But they interpret it as human enemies. That's why in a lot of circles, you hear awota. Awota. In our language, Ota means enemy. Then they will now tell you, some of these corrupted prophets and something, they'll say that Ota is your mother-in-law. That Ota is your cousin. That Ota can cause dissension in families and all kinds of, you know, disunity. You know, that this one, they are the one doing you. Then it give you Psalm 35. Then you now start using the scripture as a talisman. And Satan now corrupts that thing. And instead of using it in faith for what God's word wants, you know, you witchcraft spirit come inside. And mess everything up. It's come on. That's why I said I will give you pastors who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's why we need pastors. We need anointed pastors and prophets and teachers who will tell us, it's not like that. Yes, it says that, but that's not what we're talking about. You have to go to the New Testament and say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the Ota is not your mother. And your cousin is the devil operating through your mother and cousin. So you don't fight your mother and your cousin, you fight the devil behind it. And then with love, you win your mother and your cousin. That's the correct thing. But you know, if you don't know the New Testament and you don't have revelation knowledge, you won't know all of that. All you will know is what the Bible says. Bible is like, don't tell me. Can you see how necessary this teaching is? Like I said at the beginning, it's endemic. Even among the modern Pentecostals, they believe these things. They will just take the scripture and take the letter of the scripture and misinterpret it and misapply it, and it will kill them. Because the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Am I talking to anybody here? Not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He's not talking about being born again. They're already born again. He's talking about people entering into total dominion, perfection, you know, so they can inherit the spirit without measure. All that is at the back of my mind because I have that knowledge. So when I read the scripture, I'm reading it with that knowledge background. If you don't have that knowledge background, you just read it on the surface and you won't know what he's talking about. Then he goes to explain. He said, for many will say to me, I didn't hear you. In that day, turn to your neighbor and say, that day is this day. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Say prophecy. These are the gifts that are mostly corrupted. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Notice it's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. Have we not in thy name cast out devils? These are not unbelievers. These are born again people. Have we not in thy name, Jesus says it three times, in thy name prophesied, in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works, which will like healings and barren women having babies and all of those kind of things, you know? Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. But he's born again. He said, Lord, Lord. If you say Jesus is Lord, you are born again. Jesus didn't say they're not born again. When he said, I did not know you, he's not saying, doesn't God know everybody? God know the name of every, there's nobody on earth God doesn't know. He knows the day they were born. So he's not talking about knowing you, that your name is Laolu, or that your name is Kayode, or that your name is Goiga, or that your name is Ruda. He's not talking about knowing you like that. He's talking about intimacy that causes a reproduction of his character. That's the kind of knowing. Like when Adam knew his wife, we Eve, then she conceived and brought forth his son, Seth. In the same way, and Cain and Abel, in the same way, when you know the Holy Spirit, when you have intimacy with the Holy Spirit, it will cause Christ to be formed in you. That's what he's talking about. That's what Paul was talking about. You see, that's why you need to know your Bible. Look at the way I'm bringing these things out. It's because by the grace and the mercy of God, I know my Bible. And not just the letter. I have revelation and I have the spirit of the Bible. Not just the letter of it. That's the same thing, Paul. The same know that Paul was using when he says, that I may know him. It's the same thing. That I may know him. The fellowship of his sufferings. The power of his resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says that the life of God, that's what he meant. He's not talking about resurrection when we get glorified bodies. He's talking about, the Amplified Bible says so, you know, spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from the dead while still inside the body. Talking about the life of God being made manifest. Intimacy that causes a reproduction of his character in my soul and in my body. That's what he meant. So in this day, this third day, when the glory of God comes and others are now manifesting, you see, the spirit they had before was not without measure. Yes, they cast out devils. Yes, they prophesied. Yes, they did many wonderful works. They now see another group of people that are casting out devils, that are healing the sick consistently, instantly, that are raising the dead, that are casting out devils, you know, and healing the sick, cleansing the lepers. They're doing it instantly, and they can't do that. So they now go to God in prayer. This is a prophecy. And they will come to me and say, "Ah, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. How can't I do what these other guys are doing? You know, in thy name I've cast out devils." That's with the spirit with measure. That the gifts of the spirit which have become corrupted. You know, in thy name I cast out devils. In my name I have, in thy name I have prophesied. In thy name I have, you know, done many wonderful works. Then Jesus will now turn around and say to them, "I never had intimacy with you. You never really knew me. Depart from me, you that walk iniquity." The word iniquity there is lawlessness. What is the law of the New Testament? It is the law of love operated by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is just a vehicle. The actual law is love. But to operate love, you have to do it by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Ask the average Christian anywhere, what's the law of the Spirit of life? They don't even know. Some people don't even know. They've read it in the Bible, but it's never registered. It is a spiritual law, just like the law of gravity and the law of lift in aeronautics. That's where how God taught me, and then I heard Kenneth Copeland say the same thing, you know? And that's what it is. You clean with the blood, you load with the word, and you fire by the Spirit. So you now take you now say, "Father, I confess my sins," or "Lord, have mercy on me. I receive the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from all unrighteousness." Then I have the life of God, and I say, "I love God." I'm now going to operate the law of love inside the operation of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I say, "I love God more with all my heart, my will, my mind, emotions, and my strength. And I love my brethren, all men must cry." Then I now pray in tongues. Power is now released that goes into my mind, my will, my emotions, my body, my circumstances that will now enable me. I now see that I'm loving God more and I'm loving my brethren more. But if I don't do, if I try and just say, "Oh, well, I just love, the Bible says we should love, so I just go out, you know, no prayer, nothing, you know, I'm going to love that man, you find that you get frustrated, you don't love the people. Because you can't do it by flesh. Not operating the law of love, using the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is lawlessness. And that's what these people were practicing. They were not operating the law of love, using the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is why their anointing got corrupted. That's the reason. Originally God, originally anointed. And you see, when they are younger, God doesn't mind. He just, you know, helps them. They do a few miracles happen. They prophesy. They cast out devils. They get a few, some miracles. But as they begin to grow, God now begins to demand from them that they have to walk in love. They have to learn the law of the Spirit. But many people don't want to learn those things. So their anointings become corrupted. That's what we learn from here. So that's how, you know, this corrupted anointing comes about. In order to recognize and to avoid this, you have to make sure you make love, not an option but a commandment, because that's what it is, and it is operated by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, clean with the blood, speaking God's word, and praying in the Spirit. That's how you find 1 John is full of it. You know, it says, "Hereby we know that we are in him, you know, because he has given us of his Spirit." You know, "Hereby is the love of God perfected in us, you know, because we keep his word." That's the law of the Spirit of life. It can't be done any other way, folks. And any other thing is iniquity, is lawlessness, and it opens the door to this corrupted anointing. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Am I talking to anybody here? If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. Then give the Lord a clap offering. That's just to wake you up. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, this is not the kind of message you can be sleeping, you know. It's too dangerous. These corrupt anointings are endemic. They are rife. They're all over the whole place. And God, people don't know these things. That's why it's my responsibility. I mean, I'm just a messenger, you know. I was a messenger that was sent to come and preach it so that people will get to know. Now, after this goes on YouTube and everything, now they won't have an excuse. We're living in very, very, very tight times. Like some American guy said when I went there years ago, he said, it's tight, but it's right. It's tight, but it's right. Now, listen to me. Revelation 3:11. The reason why you want to avoid corrupted anointings is so that your crown, the crown of glory, will not be taken. He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. He's talking to this good church in, I think this is the one in Philadelphia. You know, he said, lest that no man, so men can take your crown if you will allow them to deceive you. They can take your reward from you. A corrupted anointing will rob you of your crown. Now the scripture. Am I talking to anybody here? Colossians chapter 2. Hello? I just got a fax from heaven. Don't your neighbor say, what's wrong with you? I tell you, do exactly what I said. What's wrong with you? You're in a covered place. Air conditioned. You know, I know we're having an issue with the NEPA. I think it's back now. And the generator. You have a microphone. And you're complaining. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost told me. Don't you ever say, what's wrong with you? Why are you complaining? Why are you sleeping? Why are you uncomfortable? You're in a controlled, decent environment. In Jesus' day, he preached to them in open air, under the sun. And they'll be there for hours. Not these 2-3 hours we do. Sometimes you start preaching from morning, then it's until evening. So God said, what's wrong with you? He just told me now. He said, this generation is very spoiled. The people in my generation, he said, they would sit under, they would sit on rocks, they would sit on the, they would sit on the grass. They're sitting in a nice chair, in air conditioner, with electricity, and in your heart you are still complaining. All those who need to repent, let them repent inside. You know, I just picked. He says, a little bird. I just picked what the Spirit is saying. A spoiled generation. Any little inconvenience, we complain. We have this horrible sense of entitlement. You're not under any duress. Microphone, air conditioning, nice electricity, electronic screen. What else do you want? I'm a messenger. I've just delivered the message. So I'm going to continue my work. Colossians chapter 2. And look at verse 18. This is why you should avoid corrupted anointings. Look at what it says in verse 18. This verse 18, I want us to look at it inside the Amplified Bible. I've got this wonderful Bible. It'll give me all the translations in one, you know, in one page. So I'm going to read it, you know. So put the Amplified Bible of this 2:18 on the screen behind me. Everybody read along with me. Let no one defraud you or rob you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize. This is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Insisting on self-abasement and worship on angels, taking He stands on visions, he claims. Have you noticed there's plenty of visions all over the whole place now? This, you know, the Bible is the word of God. The Holy Spirit, the scripture seen ahead. There's so much rubbish going on around now. On visions, he claims he has seen. And I don't doubt he saw something. It just wasn't from God. Vainly puffed up by his sensuous notions and inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceits. Mercy, Lord. The King James says, let no man beguile. Beguile means to, you know, rob you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, including those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. Now, let's go to verse 23 of the same Colossians chapter 2. This one, we're going to read it in the New International Version. I did my homework. Let me read the King James first. Then I'm going to read the New International Version. See all these things, these corrupted anointings and the funny rules they give you. One guy was talking to me, if, you know, if, when he wants to sleep, he wants to pray at night, and he can't, he'll put stone inside his pocket so that the thing will be hitting him, so that he will keep him awake. Now, I don't think he was a bad person, and I think he was trying to seek God the way he knew. He outgrew it anyway, to the glory of God, you know. But you see, those are the kind of stupid ideas Satan gives us. And that if you want to pray at night, it must be 12 midnight. It has to be exactly 3 o'clock. No. Yes, we pray in the fourth watch, but it doesn't have to be exactly. It can be 5 minutes to 3, it can be 5 minutes past 3. The important is to get up and use those hours to pray in the morning. You see, all these things, they come from the devil. He corrupts these, his truth, but he corrupts it. This is what Paul is talking about here. He said, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. That King James is a little, you know, it's not very clear. The Amplified, the New International Version, is the Amplified 2 is good, is here. I like the New International, it's simple and clear. It says, such regulations. You remember what I said earlier on, you know, go and bring three tails of the lizard. Then bring the mouth of the crocodile. Then, you know, anytime you hear, even among Christian circles, anytime you hear anything that is physical, you must buy a full bottle of anointing oil. You want to get visa. Eh? At U.S. Embassy. You know, it's very difficult now. Or bring the visa paper to church. Pastor Boyega, we are anointed. I said, not me, oh, Pastor Boyega. I'm only joking. You know, with all the pastors, they will surround the paper. Eh? Pastor Boyega will be on the north. Pastor Olokwadi will be on the south. Pastor Lau will be on the east. And Brother Clem will be on the left. Then all the other pastors will be two meters. So they will form an octagon. I'm telling you how the kind of stupid thing Satan says. And people are foolish. Then they say they put the paper in front, in the middle. Then they will pour anointing oil on top of it. And then, nobody you show this paper to, they will grant you the visa. Go. That's what they do. I mean, I exaggerated a little bit, but it's fetish. It's occultic. Even though they use the name of Jesus, even though they use tongues, once anything is asking for some type of physical regulation that you can't find, you know, there's only one place in the Bible where it says they anointed the sick. It's in the Gospels, you know, when the apostles went out. Then in James, it says, you know, if any sick among you, let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, and listen to what it says. It says, And the prayer of faith, not the anointing oil. The anointing oil just to trigger the faith of the guy. We'll heal the sick. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven, and the Lord will raise him up. Then we leave all that and then concentrate on the anointing oil. Because it's physical. You know, we come from a background of Babalawo. I'm talking about the typical African. That's our background. So we like to hear things like that. When you're still talking faith and all that, you don't click with them. When you now say, this is what you need to bring. You know, we understand that. We come from a fetish background. So when some of these leaders with the corrupt anointing, when they get into all this fetish nonsense, and they begin to tell us, you know, yes, okay, you come to, when you're coming, you bring anointing oil, you know, or you bring water, you know, umiadua, you know, you put it in Ragoli's bottle, you know, then they pray over the water, you drink that water, all miscarriage will stop. In Jesus' name, they'll put the name of Jesus too. It's a corrupted anointing. Now, I know in the past, God may have done miracles with those things once, you know, but God will do that maybe just once or twice, just to get your attention, and then try and get you into the Word. But they don't want to go into the Word, so they want to continue with those things, and when they continue with those things, the devil corrupts it. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Such regulations, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed religious observances, false humility, and asceticism. But they have no value in restraining people from the indulging their old nature. Those things will never get rid of the sin nature. And that's why you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful, brethren. Don't go anything that is physical fetish, tie white cloth, you know, have special apron, put anointing oil, put it here, put it there. Some people, when they want to dedicate their house, they will carry anointing oil bottle. I said, where did we get this from? The Bible says that the habitation of the just is blessed. Just speak the word and pray. Finish. But I will anoint every room. Is there anything wrong with that? I just tell me in the Bible where you saw that. They're trying to carry Old Testament things into the New Testament, things that have been done away with, diverse washings and all kinds of things. It's the devil. Don't worry, I'll soon finish. I'm a messenger. Are you listening to me? I'm just a messenger. If you don't like what I'm saying, go to the person who sent me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is why you should avoid corrupted anointings. They will rob you of your reward. And they will corrupt, give you false regulations that are not from God. And you can tell telltale signs. You know, once you start seeing people, you know, putting emphasis on physical things, you know, even some of our brethren on television in America, you see, you know, when it's Easter, they have one special cross or one egg, but it's $50. You know, how you buy it and you give you a serious blessing. Anything like that, stay away from it. It opens the door to evil spirits. You don't need, you know, if you want to buy an egg for decoration, that's okay. But, you know, as a sign or source of blessing, it's very dangerous. Are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. Now, how do you recognize these anointings and avoid and overcome them? Let's quickly look at Matthew chapter 7. Go back to that, Matthew chapter 7. Very instructive. Now, I want to look at the preceding verses. We did this in our School of Perfection but it bears repetition here for the purpose of this message. Verse 15, Jesus is warning again. He gave this warning in Matthew 24:24. But he's warning again. He's talking here directly to the church. The church had not yet been born. He was talking prophetically to his disciples and to us. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are what? Ravening wolves. You shall know them how? I didn't hear you. I heard only half the church. How will we know them? I want everybody to open their mouth. How will we know them? I want everybody to stand up. I'm my messenger. Except for the very elderly, you know. Everybody stand up. How will we know them? How will we know them? How will we know them? The title of this message is Recognizing. Sit down now. He's very specific because he's talking prophetically. He can see ahead the perilous times that are coming and the silly things Satan will try and do inside the church. If he can't beat us, he joins us. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing and inwardly they're raving. You shall know them how? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth what? But a corrupt tree bringeth forth. A good tree cannot bring forth. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? Hewn down and cast into the fire. This is a very dangerous thing. Wherefore, he repeats himself. He's because he doesn't want us to miss it. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Follow me to Luke chapter 6. Lord, I shall know well. If I'm helping you, give me a wave offering. Then give the Lord another clap offering. Verse 45. I'm just going to. Because the same thing in chapter 7 of Matthew. But here, Luke records it a little bit differently. And he puts an emphasis on it, which is very important. I've preached from this over the years. What I call it, the fruit of good treasure. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For what? Of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. How do you recognize them? By their fruit. Now, how do you know the fruit? Firstly, from what they say. I will say treasure. What is treasure there? It's wisdom. Colossians chapter 2. You must let the Bible interpret itself. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Is it a good man? He will bring out treasure. The fruit of good treasure. It will come out of his mouth. An evil man will bring an evil treasure. You will be able to. By the time you listen to somebody 10, 15 minutes, you start locating them. Where is this guy taking me? He might quote scripture and all of that. Yes, that's important in its place. You know, but okay, how is he interpreting the scripture? Like Jesus asked the disciples, how readest thou? He didn't say, what readest thou? He said, how readest thou? So, you will know and overcome them by the power of the fruit of the Spirit that will neutralize their oppression when you release the power of the fruit of the Spirit through prayer. I'm going to give an example of my son, Joshua Luby. Joshua Luby told me this story. When he's back, he's in America now, he's done his law exam, passed it, and he's, you know, filing to join the New York Bar, you know, for law. But this was when he was in Lagos. He was working with a law company, Olaniyi Ajayi, in Lagos. So him and another man, another young boy, you know, They went to this meeting. So Joshua is the one who's telling me the story. He said that he got to this place, this so-called pastor, whatever, started getting word of knowledge. And he began to give word of knowledge to different people, going around the world, say, oh, this is what God said. This is what God said. This is what God said. So he now comes to Joshua. Joshua is the one who's telling me the story. He said, suddenly, when he came to me, he couldn't say anything. He said, Daddy, I don't understand it. He said, when he came to me, he said, he said, I said, that's covering. I told Joshua, I said, that thing could not operate. True story. Another of my sons, you know, also is like a brother to Joshua Lubi. They went to one meeting. So this guy was giving out word of wisdom all over the whole place. So when he came to him, instead of telling him this is what God said, he said, take one. You know, God wants to give you a gift. You know, God's give you a new job. He said, well, which one do you want? KPMG, Deloitte, or Shell? He just looked at me. My son didn't answer him. You know, then he said, Daddy, if he truly knew what God said, why should he? Is rife in Lagos. KPMG. Who doesn't know KPMG is a big company? Deloitte or Shell. I choose one. My son didn't answer him. Then they came home and came to tell me the story. I said, that's why you shouldn't go to such places. He said, well, one of their friends was doing something, and just to be polite, they went. I said, yeah, I know. You know. And of course, sometimes you have no control of who the pastor invites. So just like with the place I went in Abuja, you know, I too was invited, I too was preaching. And then there was another guy preaching who wanted 5,000, 10,000 naira. You know, so sometimes, you know, you can't blame the children. You know, they just invited some funny person. Now I warned them. I said, you have to be very careful. True story. So you can overcome them if the power of the fruit of the Spirit is in operation. That spirit can't operate around you. I'm going to close soon. So, in closing, look for these key words and attitudes in their preaching and in their conduct. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. The fruit of good treasure. What is it good treasure? Revelation knowledge, the wisdom of God that is coming out of their mouth, or is it just stories and funny things? Number two, humility. Things like titles. Once you see some of those things, you just have a caution. I'm not saying they are false prophets, but just be cautious. You know, when you notice arrogance, you know, this big manism and all of that. Because see, once a person doesn't have the fruit of humility, he's not going to have grace. And if he doesn't have grace, he's not going to give you anything else. You'll be able to tell. So you look for these things. I call them the security features. I would say mercy, grace, honesty, humility, love as a condition for power. They may use different words. If you notice, I didn't even talk about life and power. It's there because life is in mercy and in grace. When you hear somebody, be looking for those. It's like the security features of a Naira note under ultraviolet light. Be looking for the keywords: mercy, grace, honesty, humility, love as a condition for power. If you don't hear those words or things like that, your ultraviolet is telling you that this is a corrupted anointing. If all you hear just power, money, how they did this and they did that and they got private jet and all that, but you don't hear mercy. You don't hear grace. You don't hear honesty. You don't hear humility. And most importantly, because all of the Spirit is summarized in love. Hardly. You know, I don't have time, so I don't listen to, but I just snip it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just leave me. You know, hardly do I ever hear them talk about love. It's very rare. Especially as a condition for power. It's a security watermark. If you don't say it, something's wrong. Stand to your feet. Let's close. Let's talk to God. I would say recognizing, avoiding, and overcoming corrupted and false anointings. Talk to God. Ask God to help you. Pastor Wale, in one of our books, wrote many years ago, see, if you are looking for power, you will be deceived by the power corrupted anointing. If you are looking for money, you will be deceived. It is the greedy people that cause the greedy preachers to prosper. The reason why people are as deceived is because they want to be deceived. Because they too are looking for the same thing. If you are looking for power without love, you will be attracted by the person who preaches it. If you are looking for money without honesty and consecration, you'll be deceived by the person who's going to preach it. The reason why you'll be deceived is because you, your heart too, that's what it wants. It resonates with them. In your presence.
In your presence.
That's where we're content.
We are content.
We are content.
We are content.
In your presence.
In your presence.
There is love.
There is life.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations. Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence. A love song.
A love song offering within the presence of a King.
In your presence, we are content.
In
oh, sing it.
In your presence, we
God are content. God bless with contentment is great gain.
Revelations of your power and might in your presence.
In your presence, we now bring. We now bring
love and offering within the presence of our King.
In your presence, there is light.
In your presence.
I've been singing this song for years, but I saw something now. Key words there. Content. Content. godliness with it is a lack of contentment that causes people to be deceived. A greed for money, a greed for power. But in your presence, we are content. Then I saw something else. It's always been there. Expressions of your love comes before revelation of power and might. I'll be singing it. It's there all the time. When I was preparing, God chose this particular song for me to sing. Light, love, then power and might. These are the security features to be able to tell corrupted anointings. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this afternoon. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you. You don't want us to be deceived. Thank you for warning us ahead of time over 2,000 years ago that we should take heed that we may not be deceived, that even the very elect, if it were possible, could be deceived. Thank you for showing us how to recognize by fruit. Father, I confess my sins where I've had a tendency to follow power, to follow money, without the condition of love and spiritual growth. Forgive me. I repent. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive fresh life and power into my spirit as we pray. Father, teach me more. I thank you for what Pastor Olubi has said, but Lord, I want more. Personally, as we go into this 3-day fast, open my eyes. So it will be clear to me how to recognize corrupted and false anointings, and to use the power of the Spirit in my life to neutralize their operation anywhere I am around. Now, when I'm there, they will not be able to operate. Help me, Lord. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Not just your works. Teach me your ways like you taught Moses, so I will know when you are talking. I will recognize when you're talking. I will hear. I will listen for mercy, grace, honesty, humility, revelation from your word, so that I will not be deceived. Help me always to remember when I'm listening, to listen for these things. Mercy, grace, honesty, humility, love, the fruit of the Spirit as a condition for power and prosperity. Help me so that I will be able to discern that which is true and pure from that which is false or corrupted. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nika tolo moshalaka. Nembrika tofridika saka. Lofridika tofrines. Neranananananan shokofredeles. Ronoto dodoroma raga tushkofre. Father, thank you. Zalaprika tolo moshk. Lord Jesus, apriki tolo mantufrine. Lord Holy Ghost, Rito Frede. Thank you for your blood, da brede glamaturia, for your life, ragato fredenga to fredes, your power, nekatoshka, rito lomongara, labraketoshka, lembrega, in and upon our wills, la prikitu fredes, our minds, la prakatu fredes, our bodies, our emotions, la prikitu lomotu fredes, our bodies, lembrito lomotu fredes, our circumstances, rin shaketu fredes, our regional heavenlies, ranashto frede, insufficient measure, ritolo moto fredes, no fridi, nombra gaga, in this regard, nera, tofre, lopri, ri, friend, tu, sha, ike, frede, loprika, In Jesus' name. Look for these same things, not only in the preaching and the teaching, look for it in the conduct. And it's not difficult to spot the way they carry themselves, their mannerisms, the way they treat the people around them. It's very easy to detect pride. It says a proud look. And some of the worst ones are false humility. One that looks like him, but it's not humility. Inverted humility. An emphasis. I have to close. On material things. Paul said it this way. They glory in appearance and not in heart. They'll be, once they get onto the pulpit, you will start hearing it. You know, the kind of car that they have. The kind of house they live in. How he went to London last week. How this happened. How that one happened. How that, all to impress you. It's a wrong spirit. My wife, you know us here. My wife and I, we travel a lot. I go to all kinds of places. I go, kind of, come and start showing off. Even if I talk about them, I'll use it as a testimony to teach something, not to, you know, so that you will start thinking that I'm more than what I am. God wants us to be blessed, to prosper, delights in the prosperity of his servants, but watch for it. I'm going to close. I promise. A man's life, we're going to deal with this next week. We're going to talk about the resurrection. Our first, well, next week is Thanksgiving, then the week after. You know, does not consist in the abundance of what he has. Should he have an abundance of things? Yes, God's going to bless us. But that's not what his life consists of. It consists of the measure of the life of God and the character of God. That, and you know what? That's the only thing you're taking away from this planet. Go and write it down inside your head. And your heart. When you were born from your mother's womb, your mind and your soul and your spirit were clean. They came from God. I was alive once without the law. Then they became corrupted because of sin in this atmosphere and in the blood. Then you died. Then that's why you had to be born again. After you're born again, you are supposed to get your spirit with the life of God. Then you begin to renew the mind and allow the life of God to go into the mind and clean it. It is only what is inside your spirit, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your physical body, the life of God. That's the thing you are taking out of the planet. The cars won't follow you. The houses will not follow you. The degrees will not follow you, even though I believe in an education. Nothing in this world will follow you. None of them will determine the type, order, and the glory of your resurrection. Reorder your priorities. For if in this life only we have hope and grace, we are of all men most miserable. If all I'm using my faith for is to have a house in Lekki, have a Range Rover, which I have by the grace of God. Have a G-boot, G-wag or whatever. You know. If that is all, then I've already lost the race. Because there are millions of unbelievers. Godless men who have better cars. They have better houses. They have better clothes. So if... I understand Paul. If my God can only provide me a small amount of what they have, and if it's in this life that is all our hope is, so they have already overtaken us. That is why of all men we are most miserable. Olorun ajoye wa. Olorun ajo ye wa o. If in this life. So when somebody meets you, you are talking to somebody, they begin to ask you, where do you live? How many cars do you have? Even among pastors. Yes. How big is your church? That's how much money do you make? That's really what it means. Yes. You know? You run 5,000, 10,000. Because when you say 10,000, this one has money. You say 15,000. That's how they judge themselves. Amen? How many private jets do you have? They measure with this material some things. The Bible says, if that is it, then we are of all men most miserable. Never allow anybody or yourself to judge by material things alone. Material things have their place. God wants to bless us. I'm not knocking it because I have material things myself. What I'm trying to say is that this goal of Christianity goes beyond things. And if that's the only thing that is motivating your Christian life, that is pushing you forward, that's what you come to church to hear. I'm going to get a new contract. I'm going to get visa. I'm going to jackpot. I'm going to do this. Yes! You are of all men most miserable. Because hundreds of thousands of unbelievers have already done what you are trying to get and they've gone beyond you. That's not what it's all about. It's about the life and the character of God. Because when you leave this body, either by the rapture or through the grave, whichever one goes by, you're only leaving this planet with what is in the soul and your spirit. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. Give Paul another clap offering. Anton Ronu. A man who thinks that we would take nothing out. But you're going to take something out. Your spirit and your soul. If you are rich there, you're going to be rich in the kingdom to come. If you are poor there, you're going to be poor in the kingdom to come. Sell out. Let me share the grace. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies. Even the gate of death. So you will live. You will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you. And show you his salvation. Even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not deceived by false and corrupted anointings. In Jesus' name, amen.